I'm speaking today with James Cargas, who is running for the Democratic nomination for Congressional District 7. James, first question I'd like to ask, why you're running for this office?
Good afternoon, Charles. I am running because last fall I really kind of got frustrated and upset with Congress ruining our credit rating, payroll tax cut, and a lot of other things the Tea Party is doing, or what Congress in general is not doing. And at a certain point, that frustration level, rises up and says, someone ought to do something about this. And looked in the mirror and realized with my background and my experience, that was me. My first job out of college was working in the United States Congress. I was a press secretary to David Bonnier of Michigan, who went on to be whip of the House. That was prior to law school. And it was a great experience. It was back when Jim Wright was Speaker of the House. And, you didn't get along. You didn't agree with the Republicans, but you talked to them, and you found a way to get things done. You built coalitions and majorities to pass this legislation. Didn't get everything you wanted, but you did the people's business. And today, things are so acidic and so ideological, and nothing's getting done. Not even bad legislation sometimes. So with that experience, and I've gone on to the White House, I've gone on to work for Bill Richardson, Department of Energy, I'm now working for the City of Houston. I can bring something to the table for the Democratic Party and give the people of Congressional District 7 a choice. And that's why I decided to run.
Okay. Well, what do you see as being your top priorities if you're elected?
So many. So much damage has been done. I think that getting the economy up and running again is a top priority. I think that balancing the budget responsibly is a top priority. The Simpson-Bowles Commission had some great ideas on the table that have not been taken up at all. There's some I don't like, but there's some that are great. I think reversing the Bush tax cuts would go a long, long way to balancing the budget. Back when, the previous time the budget was balanced was in a Democratic administration under Bill Clinton. And, when you run a business and income is low or profitability is low, you go out and you look at new income streams as well. That has to be on the table. To just cut, sacrifices our future, and it's irresponsible with where we've gotten now. And a couple of classic examples are transportation and science and research. In the transportation category, our current congressman has been preventing federal dollars from coming to Metro and coming to Houston in the name of cutting the budget. Well, these dollars come from transportation funds that are paid into by gasoline taxes. And by keeping those dollars away from our Metro and our community, they go elsewhere. They still get spent. He's not balancing the budget one iota with those votes. So I think that's irresponsible. But meanwhile, we don't have a decent public transportation system. Secondly, something I think that I'm going to put a spotlight on in my campaign is the Texas Medical Center. It is a world-class institution. We are so fortunate to have it here. People from around the world come to get medical treatment here. Researchers from around the world have moved to Houston to be part of this institution. Meanwhile, our congressman is voting against funding for research year after year after year. And looking at NIH funding alone is pretty much not even kept up with inflation. And there's layoffs now, and at Baylor and other institutions are hurting our economy. And the beauty of it is, there's some studies out there that have shown that for every dollar spent on science and research in Texas, the economy benefits $2.47. So this actually generates economic activity. And those grant dollars, you know, think about it, the average lab employs about 7 people. And it's not just the professor. There's a postdoc, there's a pre-doc, there's a lab technician, there's even janitors that clean the building after hours. Those are all good jobs that are not are being lost, actually, and are not coming to Texas. I want to change that when I get to Capitol Hill. You know, so those would be two top priorities. Three, I don't know. There's so many priorities.
All right. Well, let's talk a little bit more about Metro, since, as you say, the incumbent congressman, Representative Culberson, has been, he has been particularly focused on one rail line that Metro proposes to build, and that's the university's line, which is currently designed to run down Richmond Avenue. And his argument is that, you know, the voters voted for it to be on West Park and not Richmond. I mean, do you see that as something that a congressman should be getting involved in? And, you know, what's your position on that?
No. I mean, Metro and Department of Transportation and, I mean, the people in Richmond have, I think they've had their day in court. And there's nothing illegal going on. That's the implication he's making, isn't it? That this is illegal. And nobody has ever shown that it's illegal. That is what the best plan is. That is what Metro decided is in the best interest. And they're the experts.
I mean, right now, Congress is working on a transportation bill. The original proposal would have removed transit from the gas tax pool of money. It would have been funded separately. What's your position? What's your opinion of that?
I mean, just taking it out of one pocket and putting it in another pocket and moving money around?
Well, the concern was that that transit would then be underfunded if it wasn't getting gas tax money. Of course, the gas tax isn't funding transportation the way it used to. I mean, what do you think about that? Do you believe that Congress needs to put more money into transportation, needs to consider raising the gas tax, needs to, you know, find other ways of paying for our transportation and infrastructure needs?
I think the gas tax is fine where it is. This is not a time to be raising the gas tax. I think it needs to, you know, be spent responsibly. And when you have a community saying, we want these rail lines, we don't want Interstate 10 to look like the LA freeway, we ought to respect those decisions made by the transportation leaders here in the community.
Okay. Congress has been, Congress has not addressed immigration in a way that I think a lot of people would like to see. You know, you hear people talk about how the immigration system is broken, how we need comprehensive immigration reform. President Obama talks about that. What does comprehensive immigration reform look like to you? What do you want to see Congress do to reform our immigration system?
At the 20,000 foot level, what I see is a huge backlog of bureaucratic paperwork. You know, why are good, decent people who are in the system filling out the paperwork correctly, taking years to get their paperwork reviewed and approved? In the day of computers and technology, that path needs to be shortened. Because it'll do two things. One, it'll encourage more people to go through the legal system and, you know, immigrate, you know, properly. And two, it'll free up resources to actually guard the borders and to actually look for the dangerous type of immigration, where criminals are coming over and that element that the Republicans like to put a spotlight on, which is really such a minority of the people that come over here.
Do you support the DREAM Act?
Yes.
Okay. Is that something that Congress has not taken a vote on when it could have?
I mean, the sad thing is the DREAM Act is so narrow and really doesn't help, that many people legalize their status. To me, it's a no-brainer. I can't understand what the holdup is.
Do you support giving a permit to the Keystone XL pipeline? That's kind of been a political hot political football recently. Republicans have certainly been pushing for it. Do you support giving a permit to the Keystone XL pipeline?
I think the jury's still out on that. And it's a very complex issue. Let's begin with looking at a lot of the environmentalists. Really, what their arguments are against is the tar sands development in Canada. And being a sovereign nation, we cannot tell the Canadians what to do about a process that basically takes asphalt and expends tremendous amount of BTUs and energy to turn it into a few BTUs of usable gasoline for our vehicles. It's a very energy-intensive process. It's very destructive to the environment. That's what the environmentalists are upset about. But we can't tell Canadians to stop it. And so they're targeting the pipeline. So let's be honest about that it's really not about the pipeline from the environmentalist perspective. Secondly, nobody really talks about the fact that there are two competing pipelines out there that are looking at shorter, cheaper paths from, I believe it's Alberta, Canada, west to the Pacific, and then to take it out to refineries. Why are those pipelines? Again, they're located in Canada. One is Enbridge, which is a Canadian company, and I forget the other is an American company, maybe Kinder Morgan. I'll have to get back on that. But those alternatives are not being discussed as to what is the most cost-effective way of doing it. And finally, I'm going to go on the record here, and here's my prediction, that what we ought to be doing is watching Hugo Chavez's health, because a lot of our American refineries are under capacity right now because they're accustomed to getting a lot of Venezuelan oil, which is also very thick and difficult to process. And our refineries have been set up because we get a tremendous amount of oil from Venezuela, or used to. He has mismanaged his resources tremendously and cut back his ability to export oil to our refineries. His health is not so good. So here's my prediction. I'm glad I'm talking to you and get to go on the record here, is that if he passes away and they get decent leadership in Venezuela and all the brilliant petroleum engineers and reservoir engineers that are in Houston today because they've been exiled from their homeland go back to Venezuela and get that industry running the way it should run, we'll have plenty of supply for our refineries here.
Okay. I'd say that's a perspective I haven't heard before, but it makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. There's been recently a controversy over regulation requirements for insurance companies to provide contraception to members of employee-provided health plans at no copayment. Recently, the Obama administration, put forth some rules that, largely required this to be done by religious institutions who had sought an exemption. They gave them an out, and that, the employees can seek that themselves through the insurance carrier. But that hasn't satisfied some people. What's your opinion on the compromise regulations that the Obama administration put forward regarding health plans and contraception?
It's a compromise. And with a lot of the compromises, you don't make everybody happy. And I really, you know, first of all, when I get to Congress, I think we need to focus on the economy and important issues to everybody's daily lives. Things like this are a distraction. And if these institutions, at the end of the day, there are a lot more medical reasons to have these contraceptive drugs be prescribed by a doctor. And interfering with that doctor-patient relationship is a dangerous path to go down. You know, if a woman has certain beliefs that she holds dear, then she will seek medical treatment accordingly. If someone believes differently, then they ought to be able to make that choice. And at the heart of it, that's up to the woman and the doctor, isn't it?
Okay. As we speak today, we've only had the congressional and legislative maps that we're apparently going to be using this election for a brief while. Mm-hmm. You know, are you satisfied with the end result, or the current result, I should say, with the court-ordered maps?
No, but this is not, Congressional District 7 is not a minority-targeted district, and I don't really have much grounds to object. They took away some wonderful Democratic precincts in the Montrose area, but they gave me some Gulfgate precincts, which were, you know, have a lot of potential in them as well. I think I came out on the short end of that deal. I used to have part of the medical center. They took that away from me. That kind of hurts. And what they did is they gave it to Poe's district.
Congressional
District 2, which is just the most bizarre thing. Starting off south of the medical center, going up outside the Beltway, and then all the way up to Kingwood. How that isn't gerrymandering, I don't know. But, you know, it. Other than that, I don't think the character of the district changed that much.
I mean, it remains a district that was designed to elect a Republican.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do you run a campaign in a district like that?
If you look at the trends, and this is true for all of Harris County, things are trending Democratic. At the macro level, every year a Democrat runs, and last year a Democrat did not run, so the data's a little thin there. I mean, 2 years ago, a Democrat did not run. We pick up anywhere from 3 to 4 percentage points. Now, they've refigured it, so I'm not sure I can make that same claim based upon the new precincts. But in general, the Democratic population is growing. That's in our favor. I also think that there's a lot of moderates, Republicans, and independents who are, just like me, fed up with the Tea Party, have really had enough of their ideological crusade against America and against our economy. And they're looking for an alternative. And I want to be able to give them that alternative.
Okay. If Barack Obama, President Obama, were to call you up tomorrow and say, I'd like to help you campaign in November, what would you want me to say to people in your district? What would you want him to? How would you want him to help you in your district? What sorts of things would you like to hear the president talk about in your district if he were to visit it?
How about a comprehensive energy policy? This district includes the energy corridor. It includes a lot of the men and women that work in the energy industry, be it at the executive level, the managerial level, the blue-collar level. And, you know, that is also a reason why I think I'm a great candidate for this district. Being an energy lawyer and a lot of energy experience, understanding both the electric industry and the oil and gas industries, I think for Congressional District 7, that's what he needs to talk about.
Okay. And you have, again, as we do this today, you have two opponents in the Democratic primary for Congressional District 7. When people go to vote in this primary on May 29th, knock on wood, why should they vote for you to be the nominee and not one of your opponents?
Well, we've talked a lot about my experience for the job. You know, once I get into office, I also have a lot of campaign experience. You know, to make that happen, I've worked on the Gore campaign. I've worked on Clinton's campaign. Worked on a lot of campaigns through the years, and I think that experience and qualification for the job are very important. Now, Mr. Andrews, from what I gather, his only job experience is having been a private contractor in Iraq, and I'm not sure how that really qualifies him to run for the United States Congress. Ms. Squires, who I understand is we'll be filing soon, she has organized some Democratic events and lunches. That's her only experience. Neither one of them have actually worked for United States government or the state government or local government or have any government experience whatsoever. I've got tons of it. And government is an interesting institution. You really need to know how it works, how it functions to get stuff done.
Okay. James Cargas, thank you very much for talking to me today.
Thank you.